Don can tell you some of the things about himself. As I said, he's known, you know, Clay. He was instrumental and early in Clay's life. And so they've known each other forever. And I know he's a dear friend with Clay, and Clay considers him that. And we consider him a friend of the house because we now know him better. And every time he's here, we get to know him a little bit more. And it is a privilege for us to have a man of God in the house that has a desire to do God's will. And I know that because of the stories Clay's told me about you and him and the things that have gone on in his life. And he is pursuing and persevering, as he always has, as a man of God. So we're ready and willing to hear what God's brought to your heart, brother, and you come and take your liberties and minister as you see fit. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Well, it's a blessing to be together this morning. Amen. And it's a blessing to, I do want to say, Clay and Susan are not here so I can brag on them just a little bit, but I've lived with them for the last, I've done part-time work up here for several months, and I've been able to live at the house, and it's one of the greatest places. Everybody tells me, you know, said, wow, what, you know, being able to sit around with Clay and drink coffee with him and just be able to receive from him the things, you know, on a spiritual level, to receive from him. But, you know, one of the greatest things that has empowered me the last few months is the peace that really saturates their home and the level of consecration that is there. It's a blessing to me and a blessing to each one of you, I know, because they're wonderful servants of God, and we do thank God for them this morning, and hope they're enjoying. I know they are enjoying a great time with their family for the last few days, and that's always a blessing to be able to give to them that opportunity. And I appreciate you allowing us to share. Brother Tim Lovett, he drove me up this morning from Hamilton, Alabama. And so he is going to be helping. Quite often we minister together. He didn't know this. I just told him when we were walking in the building. I said, now we're going to tag team. Okay, you know what that means. If we're going to roll with the Holy Spirit. But Tim has a great gift of activation. And he can really get us going and in the activating the gifts that are on the inside of us. Mary, I do want to say today that the things that you've been going through, I can't say this is just a prophetic word. I'm just telling you this is a word of encouragement and just an exhortation over you and Henry. But you've been such a blessing to me to be able to come in, see y'all. Okay, I don't get to be here a lot, but when I'm here, just a blessing to be with y'all and count you as dear family. And the things that we go through in a negative way or currency in the kingdom of God. You're purchasing for yourself a great degree of boldness in the faith. It's exemplified already in your life, a great degree of boldness, but I can assure you this morning that the sufferings that we go through allows us to purchase a great degree of boldness in the faith. And so thank God for you and Henry. And we're standing with you. The devil is a liar. And we stand against every work of darkness, and we release and believe together with y'all the great things of heaven. Well, God is a faithful God, and I do want to say this word over you. I guess it was a word Clay sent to everyone. He may have just sent it to me because he felt like I needed it. I'm not sure. How many of you got the stable word? Did he text that to everybody or just some? He released a word about the stable few. Is a play on words that we're not of the in crowd, we are of the stable few, and that God has been he will remain to be very faithful to us, the stable few. Thank God. Amen. I believe that needed to be released over this house. You're a stable group of people, and I admire that very much in you this morning. Well, if you would, I'm going to share a few things with you. I don't want to bore you to tears. I'm going to try not to tell stories. As some of you have heard me minister before, I like to tell about, give testimony about things. But I want to just try to share some scriptures with you this morning. kind of to set the stage for these scriptures that I'll be sharing. And then Tim's going to be ministering with you also. But to set the stage for this, there is a prophetic word, if you remember it, that has been released over this house, that there is coming a cloud of glory here, or a cloud of His presence. Some people would call it, you know, the Old Testament Hebrew word Shekinah, a Shekinah glory that is going to come to this house. I personally believe that. So when a word like that is released in the house, if I believe it, and I believe it, what happens, faith begins to, faith is planted and faith begins to grow. And so I've been believing God that a cloud, a tangible cloud of God's presence is going to be in this house. I don't care if it's Monday morning, Sunday, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, it doesn't matter. How many of you, it don't have to be on Sunday when we're gathered together, but there's going to be a distinct, marked visitation of the presence of God in this house. Now, let me tell you, I don't believe it just for this house, but I believe it for many houses throughout this nation. I believe that God is looking at the stable few, and I believe that He is marking houses with His presence. And we've enjoyed such a wonderful presence here this morning. And I do want to thank Ian and Diana for just encouraging us with the song of the Lord this morning. How many of you just felt encouraged listening to the music this morning and worshiping God? And I thank them for that. But I believe that there is a presence, as prophesied over this house, that there's going to be a manifestation of God's nature here. Now, when you talk about the presence of God, it literally is who He is. It is His nature that is being so markedly revealed in our midst. So have you ever been in a service that it felt like it was so thick you could cut it with a knife? That was kind of the old saying used to be. Now, we've enjoyed His presence very much this morning, haven't we? I'm telling you, as y'all were praying for Mary, I've had some knee problem, and I just started receiving my healing while y'all, the family of God, was praying for Mary. That's how I do it. I'm telling you, when the presence begins to move and He begins to saturate the place, then we can reach out by faith and receive what He has intended for us. So this morning we've enjoyed this presence, and I believe it's going to continue to strengthen. Now, take you back. I know you younger guys are not familiar with Van Nuys, California, but some of the older guys are. Okay. Praise God. I'm glad to meet you. But Jack Hayford, you know, the church at Van Nuys, California. You might could testify this better than I can, but I remember 40 years ago, I guess it was, in their beginning of the church at Van Nuys, the Jack Hayford church that is now a mega church, that in those early days, a Shekinah cloud of God's presence came into that building. And it so distinctly changed the nature of the house. All of a sudden, that it was just electric, you could say. It was the presence of God had come, and it had so radically changed the people's lives that it became an atmosphere at the house. That's a little bit of what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to go back 40 years. I'm just saying that what God has in this hour is going to supersede that. I believe that He's going to, the glory of the latter house is going to be greater. I believe God's always greater. I believe He's releasing things in the earth. It may look dark, but how many of you know the darkness is always dark before the light of the morning? The darkest part of the night is before daylight. And so there is coming a release of God's presence in the church. I will share this a little bit of this story. And I told you, y'all have to pray for me that I'm going to get into some Bible verses. But when Clay and Susan and Dorothy and I and all of us started out together in Arkansas 30-something years ago, I had taken a pastorate and kind of came in. I come out of a revival church in Florida where there was a real marked presence of God. People were getting saved, healed, delivered, great freedom in the house. And I'd come to Arkansas to pastor, and it had little to do with me or anybody else other than there had been a little church north of town, if those of you who know where Clay and Susan are from, Brinkley Wheatley, right north of town there was a little church at Cotton Plant called First Baptist Church of Cotton Plant. And the old pastor had had a vision from God, and the vision was to go and build a building. Now, everybody thought that he had lost his mind. It's like Noah and the Ark. He had gone out and started building this mammoth educational building, and people would say, Brother Prince, why are you building this building? And he'd say, God has showed me that there's fixing to come a visitation of his presence here, and we're going to need this and much more. And people said, well, he has lost his mind for sure. And, you know, they just kind of, but guess what began to happen? About time he got that building finished, it began to happen. And so I had moved to town on the tail end of that meeting. The residue of the Spirit was still in the county. I'm telling you, a lot of these guys like Clay and Susan and many more that had come out of the farm culture, that had come out of really some hard lifestyles. There was a bunch of what I call good old boys. Mostly they were not good old boys. They were bad old boys. They were rough, tough, tumble, whatever you want to call them. And God had saved a whole crop of these people. I tell you, it was an amazing story that had began to happen at this church in the little community. They'd come from all over. And so I was fortunate enough to just kind of come in on the residue of that. And so all of these guys were beginning to filtrate in, and I would have fellowship with them and benefit from what God was saying and doing in their lives. And it was a great time. But I can tell you this, that there was such an aura of God's presence that was still in the community that you could go into a store, unknown, total strangers in a store, and people would begin to weep. And they would ask us, you know, of course we were all young in the Lord, and we were all together, and people would say, well, who are y'all? And what do you know? And we're Christians. And they would say, well, please pray with us. We're going through some terrible times. And so it began to go like that. God just continued to escalate in the things that he was doing in that community. So I believe that, just to say all that, to say this, I believe that we need to let faith so enlarge in our spirit now that this is going to be happening all across the land, that there's going to be houses of his presence. And guess what? When the presence comes, the presence come. If you understand what I'm saying, when the presence comes, the presence come. I'm telling you, healings will begin to flow. You'll not have to ask for them. There'll be such a richness. There'll be such an unsearchable richness of Christ in the house that when they come in, before the singing starts, before the prayer begins, anything begins, there'll be such a richness of God's presence here that people are going to be healed supernaturally by the power of God. People that have been battling life-controlling problems for years. Let me tell you something. I've watched people walk into the presence of God and all of those demons lift off of them. And then this is going to happen. Listen, it's going to happen. It's going to be happening right here. So the structure is being built. The apostle has been laying a great foundation here, and things are being set in order, and it's going to happen here. It's been spoken over us. Our faith is in agreement. We're believing God for it. As Mary said, that what's fixing to happen, she might as well have done the preaching, because I'm telling you, what's fixing to happen here, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but the Holy Spirit is revealing it to those that love him. So this morning, I just want to share a few things out of Matthew 13. This is an unusual scripture to go to in reference to this, but in Matthew 13, it's the parable of the parable, the parables, plural, of the kingdom. And in this, you will see a very interesting thing. Jesus is speaking to them the very different parables of the kingdom. But in verse 10, Jesus, the word says, "And the disciples came and said to him," Jesus, "why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, I found that very interesting because they didn't ask the question, what did that parable mean? They could have, because he had been sharing stories about the kingdom. And when we look at it, basically we study those parables, the parable of the sower, the parable of the leavened loaf, all those things. That's what we study. But I saw something a little unique in that these disciples said, "Why do you speak to them in sayings that are hard to understand or hard to be uttered," or something like that, parables? And Jesus said to them that they basically are slow of hearing and slow of sight. He said they don't understand. So I'm having to bring some natural things along the line so that they can understand spiritual things. Now that's thank God for that, because I love natural things to talk to me about spiritual things. And I just heard this from the Lord I want to say to you. Our responsibility in all this is that we simply are planting seed. We are watering and tending to the crop. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is nothing more, nothing less. Because in the end result, we're going to say he gets all the praise, he gets all the glory, he gets all the honor. It's all of Jesus, none of us. And so this morning, we are just about the Father's business. We plant, we water, we tend to the things of God, but the scripture said, God gives the increase. And I want you to really hear that this morning, because I just feel it in my spirit. But so they're saying in verse 10, why do you have to speak to them? Jesus explains it to them, said they're slow of hearing. But look over in verse number 16, Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see," and I'm going to kind of add to here, "and blessed are your ears, for they hear." Amen. That's us this morning. That's the stable crowd. Amen. We're in the stable bunch this morning. Amen. "And blessed are your eyes." Can I say that to you this morning? Blessed are your eyes, because you see the things of the kingdom. Can I say it to you? Is it okay to say, "Blessed are your ears" this morning? I'm telling you, blessed are your ears, for you hear what the Spirit of God is saying and hear what the Spirit is doing. So when this presence begins to really flood this culture here, when it begins to so inundate this house, people are going to say, "What in the world is going on?" You know why? They don't really understand. That's why it's me and you that have been called alongside of them to say, "Hey, let me show you the analogy here. This is what God is doing." And besides that, they'll just get healed all the time. They'll be wondering what in the world's going on. I think I've told this story. I love to tell testimonies. I have to say testimonies. My mother and dad, I bless them this morning. They're 94 years young. They're 94 years young, still live at home by themselves, still take care of themselves, and I get to go see them and eat. Mother still cooks some real good stuff, and I get to go home and check on them, and I'm really going home for ulterior motives. I'm going home to eat some mama's cooking. But they were just kind of natural, what I call natural believers. And so I had had, I've probably shared this here, but I had a word. I said, "Lord, how do you want me to pray for mom and dad?" And the Lord spoke to me out of John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse, 14 or 12 or 14, where it says, "The word was made flesh." And so the Lord says, "Pray over them that the word will be made flesh." And so I began to speak that word, pray that word over mother and daddy. And so I went home. It's been a few years now. I went home at Christmas time. And that, like I said, they were just natural or nominal believers. And I went home at Christmas, and mother said, I need to talk to you. And when mother says that she needs to talk to you, I mean, you know how moms are. And so she got my attention. And so I said, yes, yeah. She said, and alone. She said, I need to talk to you, and I want to talk to you alone. I said, oh, God, what's this about? And so anyway, I got to meet you with her, and she said, I need to tell you something that happened. And she said, I don't know if it's God or not. This was my mother now. She said, I don't know if this is God or not. I said, what in the world happened, Mother? And she said, well, we was watching some television program the other day. We were sitting in the living room, and it happened to be the 700 Club. She didn't know who they were. She described to me Pat Robertson and that lady that prays with him all the time. And she didn't know who they were. She said, there was this old man and an older lady. You know, she was just trying to describe this to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know who they are. They're good people. That's what I told her. And she said, oh, you know, I could tell that meant some resistance. You know, she said, oh, they're good people. And she said, well, let me tell you what happened. Said, we were sitting there in our chairs, and my dad had a diabetic sore on his left foot, and he would rub it. If he ever said it once, he said it 100 times. That's on the low end of the scale. He'd rub that foot, and he'd say, this thing's never going to get well. So much for positive confession. I mean, he was sitting there saying, this thing will never get well. This thing will never get well. You know, and I'm like, dear Lord, Daddy. You know, I would, you know, what else can you do? I was just like, doozy, you know. He said, it's never going to get well. Well, that day on the program, Mother's got a real bad migraine headache. She said, I'm sitting there in the chair with my hand on my head, and he's sitting over rubbing his foot saying it's never going to get well, and said, this guy on the program, she said, I don't know who he is. I don't know if it's the devil or if it's God. That's what she told me, you know. And she said, I don't know if it's the devil or what it was, but this guy said, there's a man sitting there listening to this program, and you've got a diabetic sore on your left foot. This is what the word was. And he said, the strange thing about it all is you rub it all the time saying, this thing's never going to get well. And he said, but just, the word of knowledge came like this, just to show you that I love you, that God loves you. Just to prove his love for you, this is what he said. He said, the word is going to be made flesh today. And then he said, and the skeptic, basically, you know, then he addressed my mom. He said, and the lady that's sitting in the other chair said, you're laying on your right hand, saying you got a bad headache, and you're saying, this is terrible. I can't stand this. And she said, just to show you that he loves you, he is going to remove that headache right now. The word is going, that's what he told him. I'm telling you, the word is going to be made flesh, and you're going to be healed. And she said, the pain just left like that. Now, I'm telling you, she still wanted to know where it came from. She didn't know what the source was. So it was a great teaching lesson. I took them to 1 Corinthians 13:14. I said, listen, let's look at this from the Bible. I know y'all love the Bible. I said, so let's look at it from the Bible. And so we went to the scriptures, and we went to John 1. I said, the word is made flesh, and the gifts of the Spirit were. And so I got, it was not only a time of healing, but it was a time of instruction and education, and just a great time of refreshing in our family. I said, so I told them, I said, have no fear. The Lord does only good things for you. I said, the enemy does bad things. God does good things made simple. You know, God is good all the time. So saying all that to say this morning that I believe that when the presence is so, it's going to be so electric, it's going to happen not just in the house, but the house is going to be a catalyst for what is going on in your businesses and what's going on in your communities. I asked God, because I've been working on the rail crews, and how many of you know rail crews are they're pretty tough old boys, you know. And so I've invited some of them to come this morning, you know. But I don't see any of them here, but they just kind of tough old boys. And so when I first went to work with this bunch, somebody told me, said, "Brother, are you in for it?" And I'm like, "In for what?" They said, "Are you in for it?" They said, "Those guys are going to eat your lunch." And I said, "Let me tell you something." This is what I told them. I said, if they can outdo Jesus, I want to see them. I want to meet them. I said, I don't think there's a man alive that can outdo Jesus. And, you know, I've been able to live it, see the miraculous with these guys many times. Been some failures, but been a lot of successes, a lot of divine encounters. I've met I ought to be up at Bellevue Baptist this morning. I'm telling you, I've met more of those guys from Bellevue Baptist, and we've had real divine encounters. And they said, "Who are you, and where did you come from?" And they didn't know I was a Christian. I mean, it just happens. And so I've been blessed more than they've been blessed. How many of you know that? That's the essence, Ira, of that scripture. It's more blessed to give than it is to get. You know why? Because you'll never outbless God. The more you bless people, the more you're going to be blessed. So I've been the recipient of the greater blessings. I mean, it's been a good journey. But I believe it was a proving point. My sojourn here in Memphis and South Haven, I know I've not been in the house a lot, but I believe it's just been a proving point for my intercession for you that there is coming, I believe it with all my heart, again I say it, that there is coming such an outpouring of God's love and God's power here, His authority and His restoration glory, that we're not even going to be able to believe it when we see it. I mean, we have a mindset right now of what it looks like, but I'm telling you, it's not going to look like that. Amen. If I can get you to grab hold of that. Throw away the paradigms. Throw away all of that stuff, because this is going to absolutely blow your thinking. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine. So God is going to be doing this in the day. He's doing it already, obviously, and it's going to continue to escalate. So I want to say that the way you recognize it is because your eyes are blessed. You have to maintain that mentality. You have to say, you have to know it, and you have to embrace it, that you are, your eyes and ears are blessed. And it'll begin to, you won't know it at first, but you'll see it. I won't know it at first, but it'll begin to identify with you, and you'll know it. Now, I want to ask this question or share this question out of Acts 2. I'm going to be very brief with these comments, but what happens when a level of God's glory reaches that crescendo? Well, we find it in Acts chapter 2. And the first thing that I wrote down here, there will be a clear, authoritative presentation of the gospel. I know I've witnessed to people at times search for words. It's been difficult. But let me tell you, there's been other times, and you experienced this too, you've shared with people and it just flowed, you know, and it just, wow, it was right to the point. It struck. It was like an arrow striking the heart. And when this crescendos, that's the way it's going to be. You're not going to have to try to make it happen. You're not going to have to force it. I'm telling you, it's going to be like heaven on earth. It is going to be released into their hearts through little vessels, meager vessels like me and you, earthen vessels. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, and it's going to be released into the earth in such a dynamic way that we'll not even hardly be able to recognize it. It'll be authoritative preaching. In Matthew 13, the beginning of those parables, they questioned his authority. They said, wow, what authority this man has. I believe this, there'll be great accessibility to this move of God in the book of Acts. The Cretes heard them speak in their own language. The Mesopotamians, the Medes, the Parthenon, all of them heard the wonderful works of God spoken in their own language. There's going to be an accessibility. It's not going to be a man thing, a woman thing, a country thing, a city thing, a racial thing. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be a God thing. I mean, there's going to be such accessibility that it's going to flow into the land like great rivers of living water. Great accessibility. There's going to be healing associated with it, restoration. That just accompanies the presence of God. And then the last thing that I've written down, there's going to be great evangelism. In the book of Acts, 3,000 people was added. Wouldn't that be something that all of a sudden at Kroger's, that God would do something so supernatural that 100 people would get saved? It's going to happen, church. Listen, it's going to happen. And let your faith soar with me this morning. Please grab this in agreement, because it's in my home county in down Pearl River County, Mississippi, back in 06, a little fellowship of Christian athletes were meeting one morning before school. And guess what happened? The presence of God, the 600 member school in Pearl River Central, the presence of God fell on that school in 06. And how many of them were converted? Over 500 of those young people were converted to Christ. They closed, they couldn't get them to class. At 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, they were all over the grounds huddled and praying people through. It happened. It was on the 700 Club. And you can Google it today if you want to, Pearl River Central High School Revival. That's the kind of thing that is going to be so unprecedented, but it's going to be so normal in the days ahead. I believe that our response to what I'm saying this morning has to be Joshua chapter 3, and you don't need to turn down. Just want to share a couple thoughts, and I'm going to ask Tim to share something. But in Joshua chapter number 3, the commandment was given to the people of God and said, all you've got to do is keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. Amen?
Yes.
That's all me and you got to do. Keep our eyes on Jesus. I love your smile, honey. I'm telling you, you bless me. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, it don't get any simpler than that. Man, the Muslims make it hard. I've been in China. The Buddhists make it hard. I've been in India. The Hindus make it hard. They come back as cows and all that stuff. I mean, everybody, thank y'all. They make that stuff. I mean, this is Christianity. It's not hard.
Yeah.
This is joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory. This is the life worth living. This is it. This is it.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't even be involved in religion. I would not be involved in religion at all if I didn't have Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus live down here on the earth so we would know what God looks like. We will know what the presence of God looks like. We'll be able to say, that's the Lord. You know, because Jesus, it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the historical account of Christ's life. And I'm just honest with you, I would not be in a religion that did not have that example. I mean, who would want to follow Muhammad? You ever thought about that? That, you know, he has a pretty bad history. I don't want to emulate his life. But emulate Jesus. Perfect love.
Yes.
Perfect suffering.
Yes.
Perfect joy. He endured the things of the cross for the joy that was set before him. The perfect faith. Everything. So my whole religious experience is based on keeping my eyes on Jesus. I love my leadership. I love the guys that I respect over me. But let me say, they could all go their own way tomorrow. I love them. I mean, I'm not speaking against them. I'm just saying, everybody can go their own way tomorrow, but I love Jesus.
Yes.
He'll never fail us. He'll never leave us. Wow. He is certainly more than we can consume. Can I share with you one other little scripture before Tim comes? Ephesians chapter number 3. Let's look at this company of people, if you would, just for a minute. Ephesians chapter number 3. If I can find it. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to go to... Well, let me just... I'm going to close my part of this by reading these scriptures. This is King James. And... I love the King James because that's what I was raised with. I mean, I'm certainly all in favor of it. I use my other Bibles to study with. I know King James because it's what I was taught. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, it said, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery." And then in parentheses it says, "as I've already been talking to you about." In other words, read chapter 2 and chapter 1. He said, "I've already been writing to you a little bit about this." He said, "the revelation to me, the mystery, by which you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it had now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets." Beautiful reading there, but go to chapter number 2 and let's look at some of the things He said I've already been telling you about. "You He made alive, who was dead in your trespasses and sins." Thank God, thank God, thank God. "In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others were. But God," aren't you glad for the conjunction? "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And He's raised us up together, and He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." On and on it goes. But can I say to you this morning, the fellowship of the saints, the family praying together, what we are experiencing here this morning is a level of His presence that is so unique, and that people can go to a lot of places and not experience it. I'm not putting a premium on me and you. I'm just saying thank God for you. Thank God for your love one for another. Thank God for your prayer. And you're able to look at one another in the eyes and say, "That used to be me. I once was that. I was trapped in my own desires. I was held captive by the enemy. But thank God, thank God." We can look one another squarely in the eyes and say, "But Jesus has delivered us." Dear Lord, it's good to be saved this morning. It's good to be in the family of God. Michael, it's good to be in the family, isn't it? I'm telling you, it's good to be in the family of God. I wouldn't trade it for my blood. I love my mother and dad, but I wouldn't trade it. If they walked a different way, I wouldn't trade it. Thank God that they're walking with Jesus. But I get to walk with the saints. And that's the company that we're in this morning, and that's His presence that saturated us as we prayed today. Oh, and it's going to continue to increase.
Yes.
to a level that we're just standing awe. It's going to be amazement. You can read on in Ephesians 3. They stood in amazement and wonder at all that God was doing. Wow. Thank you. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and then I'm going to ask Tim to share a moment. Or you share as long as the Holy Ghost tells you to share. How about that? Lord, we just honor you this morning. We're so overwhelmed by your presence. Lord, we love you and we exalt you. Lord, we have an inability to sing the song we sang this morning, but to the best of our ability, we lift you up. To you belongs all the praise. Jesus, to you belongs all the glory and all the honor. You've made the way possible. You've bought me. You paid a terrible price for me and for every person in this room. You shed your blood so that we could be righteous this morning. You offered yourself so that we could be healed this morning. The price that you paid for us, it's an indescribable, unspeakable gift. And we want to say we love you this morning. In Jesus, we owe it all to you. We surrender everything totally. If you're here this morning, I just want you to agree with me in prayer and saying that I surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of my life.
Wow, what a blessing. If you notice I'm walking a little stiff, that's okay. It happens every time I get close to the altar. I don't have a problem with it now. It used to be real embarrassing. But I want to go back just a little bit, back to talking about the presence just for a moment, if I can. I ain't going to take very long, because I honor Pastor Dunn. I call him Pastor Dunn. Y'all call him Dunn. I call him Pastor Dunn, because literally he's my pastor. He's also my brother in Christ, and I have the opportunity, a great opportunity, to get to travel with him at times when we can. But when he called me the other night and he asked me, you know, to help do this, immediately Psalm 63 comes to my mind. And I love this because, not because of the old revivalists used to pray this, but I'm praying it as a prayer of now. And you can turn there, but can I just read it to you right quick? And then I want us to, it just went there. I love it when that happens, don't y'all? Hey, it does. But in Psalm 63, it says, "Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you." That kind of nailed me right there. What is your soul made up of? Many of you, I don't have to tell you that, but your soul is made up of what? Your mind, will, and emotions. It's like when Pastor Don said a while ago, I surrender everything in my life. I surrender every aspect of my life. See, that word surrender is my life message. It's my life word. It's what's getting me through now. Because I'm just now starting to understand what surrender really means. It's surrendering my mind to the mind of Christ, surrendering my will to the will of God, and it's surrendering my emotions and my thoughts to Him. Because I want my thoughts to be God thoughts. When God says in the Bible, it says, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways." That convicts me. I'm telling you right now, if there's many of you in here in a place of conviction, you're in a great place. Because that's where the presence is in a way of conviction.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't need to do that.
But can you hear what I'm saying? Psalm 62:5 says this right here. And I know somebody else has put this out. I'm not feeding off of what they... I'm feeding off Holy Spirit. I've had this word within me for a very long time, and I'm just now really grabbing a hold of it and understanding. Am I too loud? Psalm 62:5 says this right here. My soul waits silently on God alone, for all my expectations comes from Him. Let's back up there for a moment. My soul waits silently on God alone. You ain't waiting for man. You ain't waiting for woman. You are waiting on God. Two times the word wait is expressed in that scripture. In one way, it's expressed in a way of expectations. I've already heard the words look forward, looking unto Jesus, keeping your eyes on Jesus. I'm not here to, man, I had something else I was wanting to share, but here we go again. I love it. Don't you? Yeah. I'm not here to give you a message of a resolution message. You've heard plenty of those messages. If you can't resolve it now, you ain't gonna resolve it January, Dad. I'm gonna speak to him because he's smiling really big at me. These other folks might beat me up. Well, Jerry might not, but don't go into the new year with some kind of resolution, but go into the new year of great expectations. Because in Psalm 62:5, what he is saying there, for all my expectations comes from him, God is wanting you to expect. We can go back to Ezekiel 12 where it talks about no more delay. And Revelation 10, we can go there. We need to go into January 1, or starting right now. Right now, as you said a while ago, I'm in the now. What is your expectation? Where is your expectation? If you're not looking at Jesus, then there's probably a big percentage you don't have any expectation whatsoever for life. I don't give salvation calls no more. I give a life and death call. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but Pastor Don knows this and some of the others, but since November of 2014, I've seen anywhere from 1 to 6 people saved per week, every Saturday night. Almost every weekend. Do you hear him say it? But I go into these services now praying Psalm 63, but I go in with a great expectation somebody's going to give their life to the Lord. Somebody's going to get free tonight. And the only way that this comes through is when we, before we even go in, that we invite the presence of the Lord. That's the only way it's going to happen. But when you put your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, when you surrender your mind, surrender your will, surrender your thought, then there's the presence. Because you become His then, right? Jeremiah 29:11. Wouldn't it be great to wake up in the morning knowing that great purpose and that great plan for your life? That is another surrender scripture, by the way. That's when you start walking in the supernatural. That's when you start walking in the presence of God. Amen? Don't you just love these moments when everything just leaves? Because it doesn't. It's not about you then. It's not about me. You know, there's 4 or 5 things just rolling around in my head right now. I didn't even get through all of that, did I? See, that's what I love.
Listen to this part right here. My flesh longs for you. That's another biggie right there, ain't it? Are y'all reading this like I'm reading it right now, like I'm hearing it? Are you seeing it? Because I want to get part to that part about seeing before we leave. I really and truly believe that God really wants to activate us into the spirit realm today by seeing those things that are to come. Looking forward. That is another word for expectation. Looking forward. Looking forward with anticipation. It actually describes in the scripture the expectation is doing this right here. With an outstretched neck. Or with an outstretched hand. Right? Are we? Where's your expectation level? Where is it? I'm not trying to say I'm all this and I'm all that. I've got a lot to learn. I'm too loud, ain't I? But where is your expectation level for 016? If you can't resolve it now, you're not going to resolve it then. Only God. Only God. What's your choice today? I think I'm just speaking from my heart, and I ain't even got to the part there that I'm. What is your flesh longing for? That convicts me right now. My belly's beginning to shake. And it ain't because of hunger, Dan. I'm just asking you to ask some questions. Yeah, for you young ones. I see you looking at me. What's your flesh longing for? Yeah. Get in your stuff for a little bit and go say, hey, Mama, Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I got a little fleshly thing going on here. Is your flesh longing for him? I'm telling you right now, that is a transformation when your flesh starts longing for him more than it does for anything else in your life. We got to experience a tad of God's presence one time. There wasn't no part of my flesh attached to that day, that night, or that afternoon. We're sitting in a tent. We don't have a speaker. We have a TV. But through worship, God's presence came in. And this tent that we're under, Pastor Don was there and some other of our friends was there, it was full of gravel. And I'm going to tell you something. We experienced a tad of his presence that day. Because when your face bellies up or your face mars up in gravel and you literally feel like the pebbles are going up your nostrils, you're in his presence. And seeing people just fall on their face and gravel. That tells me right there what your flesh was longing for. What your soul is thirsty for. See, we have an opportunity right now. After all this right here is what has been said. It says, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, when there's nothing else to look at, what you gonna drink? I'm saying to myself, not personally for myself, I'm gonna drink from the fountain of life. But then it says right here, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory manifested. See, when you so thirst after him, when your flesh longs for him, then In the sanctuary, he'll make himself known through his power and his glory. Will be manifested right on top of you. When I say on top of you, because you ain't going to be able to stand. We can hoop and holler and jump, run up and jump down these aisles all you want to. But when the presence comes, what I understand through the scriptures, what the priest experienced, that's what I'm wanting. And I'm wanting to know him just like Paul. Can I just shift here for a moment? I'm wanting to know him. Like in Philippians 3. One of Paul's first imprisonments in the Roman prisons. Paul's in chains and he's writing a letter to the Philippian people. I just don't think there's any way that he could have written that letter. You people that knows the Bible, you know the way that Paul was in that prison? I think it says he was in chains. Now, this might not sound too polite for you, but let's just think about back in that day, Dan, how the little trains looked from cell to cell, coming from the main part of the city. That gets a little nasty, don't it? This should not be boring. This should be an awakening. Paul's in chains and he's writing a letter, and I'm pretty sure he's having to deal with everybody else's junk and smell it too. And Paul writes this, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings and the conformity of your death. I've shared about two things here. That Paul's flesh was longing for him even when he was in chains and in everybody else's stinking junk. And he's writing a letter. Where's your flesh at? Where's your soul at? Is it longing for him? Is it thirsty for him? Even though Paul may have aspired to get me out of these chains, please let me out of this prison. God, please help me. That's not what he did. He says, that I may know you, Jesus. See, his focus, his eyes was on Jesus. It was all about Jesus. Can y'all hear what I'm saying? Does this mean anything to anybody? I'm just challenging after today. Then there's one other thing I hope we can do concerning the eyes. And maybe one or two prophetic words. But I'm going to ask you to do something. You know, in Psalms 139, you know, if you can't do it, ask God to do it for you. That's what the scripture says in the last verse of Psalms 139. It says, search my heart, O Lord. In some interpretations, I like using it like this. And see if there's any wicked way left in me. In other words, in my soul, in my flesh. And then in some other interpretations, I think it says, and see if there's any way that offends you. Now, I can go a little further on that, but I don't. That timing's not here. But I'm going to ask you. You know, Pastor Don will call me every now and then, and he'll say, what are you doing? Doing some soul searching. I say, yeah, I am. I'm really trying to shift here, and I can't shift for some reason. and this is not about me. Maybe this will help you. It helps me every time I think about it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "But may the God of all grace, who's called you into his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, Mary, after you have suffered a little while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Let's stop on that one word, perfect, just for a moment, can we? Just keep in mind, your soul and your flesh, that what Paul is talking about in 1 Peter is, what is it that he's wanting to perfect that which is what is wrong in you? That deals with the soul and the flesh. What's going on in the mind? What's going on with your will? What's going on with your emotions, your thoughts, addictions, whatever it may be? But that word perfect, listen to this, means this. And I really and truly believe, prophetically speaking, but yet in all expectation and in truth, I stem my life on this right here. That word perfect takes me to a word of perfection, which means this, the extreme degree of his excellence. Now, I've said about two or three things tonight, but it all comes back to one, that his power and his glory be manifested in this sanctuary. This sanctuary. Not just this sanctuary in here, but this sanctuary. You are a sanctuary. Holy and blameless. But yet Jesus, it's like Ian was singing a while ago, and I reached over, you know, you were singing that song nearly about Jonah. When Jonah cried out from the depths of the ocean, the Bible actually says he comes from the roots of the bottom of the ocean, and God was still after him to perfect him, to perfect him, to establish him, to settle him. And that is what God is wanting to do with us today. He wants to bring you into that high or that extreme degree of his excellence. Man, that's presence. That's walking just like him. That's having the character of Jesus. Your mind and will and emotions is all tied up with him. That your power and your glory be manifested in this place. In this sanctuary. Leave today and say, I'm a sanctuary. You remember that song? Jesus declares you a sanctuary. Jesus declares you holy and blameless. You know, you may not feel it, brother, but I just don't walk up and just hug on folks for the fun of it. Michael, is that your name? You got a gem on your hands. I just don't walk up and hug on folks. But I felt the presence on you. And I wanted some of it. Keep it pure. Keep it pure. Here in your soul and all your flesh. Keep it pure. You hear what I'm saying? One more word, and then I'm going to hush up, and then, or two more words actually, because I hope. Can we get the worship up here? Ian? There we go. Can you play, Pastor Don? The drums, something? You'll just have to grab him, Ian, on the way up. He's wanting to play something.
But I want to shift here and go to Jeremiah. I'm going to hopefully... I guess I wasn't going to do this a while ago. Is that, that's Mary, right? But Mary, can I ask you to do something? Can you come back up here and stand in this altar again? Can I just read to you? And how many really loves this woman? How many support this woman? Really? Because what I'm about to read over her really, I think, is she's probably had this, and she's read this before. But I'm just going to read an OT prophetic word. Jeremiah 51:20. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. Now, the battle axe means this right here. In one definition, the battle axe means this right here. Can you come up here? Miss Judy, will you come up? Yeah. Vicky, I'm sorry. I'm really good with names. And you? Yes, ma'am. You, ma'am? Yes, ma'am. Do you know her, Mary? Come on, Michael. Come on, buddy. I like it when people look at you. Where's he going with this? Well, guess what? When Jesus ascended to heaven, he told the disciples, "You don't know where I'm going yet." Y'all supposed to laugh on that one. But I want you to see something here. And I'm going to finish reading this as a prophetic word to you. The battle axe means, one definition, it means this right here. A mighty, great woman. That's what the battle axe means. But it also, this right here, as they were praying with you a while ago and speaking, why have I got these people lined up with you? Because the battle axe that you are has a procession of people that follow along, and they only move forward. You're not going side from side to side. You're moving forward with the swinging of the battle axe. And there's always a troop behind that that supports that foundation. I'm just merely reading to you, okay? It's okay? You are my battle axe and weapons of war. Turn and look at your weapons. Everybody should be turning and looking at yourself. Look at your kids, ma'am. That's your battle axe, girls. You're a weapon of war. That's how God is seeing you right now. This is how God is seeing this woman. Do you support this? Because I'm really and truly believing that the prayer is about to shift. And the violent take it by force. But there has to be a procession of people, a people that keeps moving forward, a people that keeps looking forward. They're not looking from side to side. They got their eyes on the one. And they're clearing the land from here to there to the one. They're paving the way. For with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and the rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and the rider. With you also I will break in pieces man and woman. That sounds kind of awful, don't it? But it can't be man's way or woman's way. It can't be. It can't be other. It cannot really be about the worldly system. That's what we're cutting down. The sister of Babylon. That's what Babylon represents. The worldly system. Who's going to swing the axe? And it's almost, I've never really ever said it like this. It's almost as if I'm hearing Pastor Don, I'm choosing you, Mary. Now, if you'll just walk right out in front there, I just see what I see, okay? If you'll just walk right out front, walk with her. Just walk with her. Walk with her. Just walk with her. Walk with her. Just keep going, Miss Mary. Just keep going. Come on. If you want to come, come on. This is another activation of the spirit realm. Are you going to go with the one? Are we going to help clear the land? We got to clear the land for the presence. Make way, Maranatha. Maranatha, Maranatha means the coming of the Lord. In the Message Bible, it says it like this. Make room for the Master. Make room for the Master. Come on. Yeah. I'm not playing. We're not playing here. This is just merely of an activation of an army going into a possession to bring some walls down. Come on. No, not only is this a prophetic gesture, but it's a moving forward. None of these people are walking backwards. They're moving forward. In Exodus 14, the Lord spoke to Moses, quit your crying and tell the people of Israel to move forward. When you're moving forward, there's no other way but to look forward. You can't even look backwards. Right? And you hear what I'm saying? It's just merely an activation of the spirit of what's going on here. See, they're just fulfilling the word right now, as Moses did when he stood on the mountain about Joshua. Moses went to war. And when Moses began to get tired, Aaron and Ur began to do what? Hold up his hands. Because it was not about Moses. It was about Joshua winning the victory, clearing the land for the promise. Clearing the land for God's covenant to be revealed and established in the land. God's covenant has been established in this land. It was based on his covenant. Am I not right? What are we doing? We got to get it right. Amen. Amen.